Support the show by donating at themusicbuds.com. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Buds podcast. This is episode number 23, and my name is Henry. This week, I am so honored to be joined by composer Bill Elm, known for his work on the video game Red Dead Redemption. Bill, first off, it is so nice to meet you and to have you on the show. I've enjoyed your music for so long, and so I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk, so thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, how are things going these days?
They're going pretty good. I'm in Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, about the last 6 years, 7 years maybe. And summer was brutal, but we're getting over it. So
yeah. Well, I guess kicking things off, how did you get into composing? Because I feel like there are so many different avenues to which you could do that.
Yeah. Well, the band, I had a band called Friends of Dean Martinez for a long time before Red Dead. And we started in 95. We were signed to Sub Pop Records for a few albums and then did a bunch for other labels in the subsequent years. But it was an instrumental band, and it was very caught between, I don't know if you're familiar with Santo and Johnny.
Yeah,
Sleepwalk. So I played steel guitar. That was kind of the lead vocal instrument in that band. And I guess the work that we were doing ended up having a very cinematic or soundtrack quality to it. And it kind of evolved into more mood music rather than, you know, say, songs or bits. So it was pretty natural to try and, well, also we had licensed a bunch of stuff to, TV shows, movies, stuff like that. And so it was natural, especially when the bottom on the record industry fell out, to move over to doing some film work. And we did, like Fast Food Nation for Richard Linklater and some other more indie, like documentary stuff. Plagues and Pleasures on the Salt and Sea was one of my favorites that we did. But I guess it was just kind of a natural evolution. And also when your career needs to get with the times, it's follow the money.
Yeah,
sure. Who has a budget? Because record companies certainly didn't, after 2005. So at least for the, the mid or lower level bands, the indie bands, I guess. So yeah, it was, and that's really what, I don't know, I think that I had always been interested in the first place was soundtracks. And the idea of not writing the song, but setting a mood, for a piece, mood music, I guess, in a sense.
Well, how did Red Dead Redemption come along then?
That came along, I had a manager that had moved to New York, and he had heard somehow about Rockstar taking over the Red Dead Revolver game, because that wasn't made by them, and that was the original thing that it was based on. And then they were planning on doing a more Grand Theft Auto style open world version of the game. I'm not, I have to say, other than the original couple of Call of Duties that were played on PC, I'm not a gamer. Wasn't as knowledgeable about what was going on in that industry, but it was a Western and it seemed like really right up our alley. I think they wanted somebody, they didn't want the obvious choice. They wanted to go a little left to center. And so we started talking to them, or the manager did initially. And then, it must have been close to a year and a half before I started working on the game. They were still finishing up a Grand Theft Auto version that had been pushed back. So around 2007, went out to New York, had an initial meeting with them, and then it was it was over a year until got a call back that they were ready to start thinking about working on the Red Dead Redemption game. And so it was very much in its Yeah, I mean, they were still building it.
Yeah.
So we went out for a playthrough at that point and then just started bouncing around ideas. And really for the first few months, it was just kind of doing real simple home demos, sending them off. And then mostly it was me and Yvonne, the head of the soundtracks at Rockstar, that just started just bouncing all kinds of music ideas off of each other. They had some things that they definitely wanted. And obviously, if you're going to do that, you know, Ennio Morricone and Spaghetti Western stuff sure. comes in, but not wanting to follow that directly, we just, we developed. I mean, we talked every day, just sending music back and forth and stuff that's totally unrelated to, you know, Westerns or soundtracks, but just finding the little feels to develop a musical dialogue, I guess, between the two of us to communicate, because it is more about emotion and feeling rather than, you know, hey, this chord progression is great or whatever.
Right. Well, one thing that you had mentioned about not being a gamer, the other video game composers who I've talked to have said the exact same thing. And so really? maybe that's the way to go, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't spent much time in that world, but I did notice one of the things that really struck me about Red Dead when it came down to like video game awards and what the other stuff is, that there is a video game sound, you know, and it's this, you know, big orchestral with heavy percussion. And so much of the stuff I remember at the Spike Video Game Awards when they were playing all of the, options for best soundtrack or whatever, that all of the music really sounded the same until Red Dead came in. And there's clearly this different, you know, totally organic vibe that, you know, that came through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and I mentioned a few to you before, but being a history fan myself, I think one of the great things about, you know, movies, TV shows, video games, and music as well, is that it can kind of transport you, if done well, it can kind of transport you into that era.
Oh, yeah. And,
like the track Born Unto Trouble, truly every time I play that track, regardless of the context, it feels like I'm in the Wild West, you know, whether it's in my bedroom or driving down the highway. And so, like, I think you really nailed that sound, because it does feel, as you said, it does feel organic, and it really is immersive in that way.
Yeah. I love the Born Under Trouble. That's one of my favorites from the soundtrack. But the biggest thrill actually that I got off of doing it was, it must have been 5-6 years. Well, yeah. 5.5 years ago, my son lives out, and he was living in Texas at the time, and he's 5 years old, and I drove him from Austin out to Tucson for his spring break for a visit, and we stopped in Tombstone, and ended up just inadvertently parking. Well, I was looking for a parking space. The one I found was next to this big wall in Tombstone, and so we park. I get out of the car, and I'm like, wow, there's some music playing. And I thought, man, that sounds familiar. And then I realized it was the Red Dead soundtrack. And we went back in the OK Corral.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, I won't do the whole long story, but they used the soundtrack before and after their gunfights as the.
Wow.
And I thought, if you're going to write a Western soundtrack and it ends up being played at the actual OK Corral, then you probably hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, job well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like? I mean, you had touched on it, but like doing a game that has such a, I mean, it went on to be so successful, but the world itself within the game is so big. How did you go about like actually finding the right music and I guess trying to wrap your head around the world itself?
Yeah, and that was done. I mean, that's what took the longest, was to nail down. Exactly. Well, I mean, there were a couple of issues. They wanted the music to be interactive, but they had really no idea how that was going to work. You know, they had dedicated, I think it was each, however they were dividing it up, each territory could have, you know, 5 minutes or 40 minutes worth of music. And that was divided into 8 stems of 5 minutes. And they wanted the music to step up, you know, if you got on a horse, you know, then it would go up a level. And so they said, well, you know, basically just strip it down to the bass, and then you add in the, or the basic instruments, and then you drop in the bass, and then you bring the drums on, and then you bring guitars on. And And it became clear that that wasn't going to offer enough variety for the size of the world. Mm-hmm. And one day I was just sitting around, I was mixing stuff for the game, and then it dawned on me how to do it. And that was to make 8 separate songs that were vague enough and random enough that you couldn't hear the loop come back around, but also that any combination of those stems could make almost a whole different song. Hmm. Or you could take the song and ramp it up, but you still had enough room for variety for it to sound slightly different over in, you know, this gunfight as opposed to, you know, this horse chase. And then once we figured that out, then it was just a question of sticking the right music into the right slots and figuring out which, you know, it's like stems 1, 3, and 6 go together for this, or you strip them back down. And so that it was really offered them a lot more options on mood than we had even expected going into it. And that's really what I think. And I think they're still using the same system for their interactive games,
right,
of mixing the music that way. But then it became really fun because we knew what we were doing. So it was a question of just getting the sounds right, making sure that nothing stepped on each other with the stems, and, you know, and figuring out, you know, we did, the entire game is done all in the key of A minor at 130 BPM, because 130 BPM, or beats per minute, in case you don't know, you know, worked well for the action sequences, and then halftime worked well for slower things. Hmm. And then we did, ended up doing, you know, the frontier and the north in 4/4, and then Mexico was in 6/8. And other than that, like, so it's kind of cool too. If you took all of the stems from the north, I mean, you can make endless new amounts of music out of all that stuff. I think between the Undead Nightmare and the regular Red Dead Redemption, they got close to 24 hours of music, all in A minor at 130 BPM. That's all different and all kind of lays over each other.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it'd be cool if they released the stems at some point for DJs or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Talking about a couple of the other tracks. So Exodus in America, which starts in the opening credits, where it's this really like delicate piano, and then it gets like super dark, gnarly. Like, is that kind of those dips and dives, or is that kind of a natural thing for you in terms of creating that kind of varied tone and feeling, or is that more just particular to the scene itself?
That would have been more particular to that scene, because the piano part was something that had been done, oh, I don't know, you know, 13, 14 months before it was put into that that sequence.
Oh, gotcha.
It was something that we liked and had kind of earmarked, set off to the side. And for those, I think that's a cut scene. So with those were more scored like you would a traditional film.
One, I'm grateful, Mrs. Bush, that they are finally bringing civilization to this savage land.
I could not agree with you more, my dear. My daddy settled this land, and I know he'll be looking down on us, pleased at how we help the natives.
Yes, they've lost their land, but they've gained access to heaven.
So things had to match up with the movement and the change. It wasn't as random, but the neat thing about, I guess, working on the video game and the open world kind of, you know, because the player is controlling the music and by their actions in the game. Mm-hmm. And so the recording ended up being that we would have these sessions that were all playing to the same thing, you know, but you'd have 100 tracks in there, you know, percussion, everything going. And then out of that, it was almost like painting, you know, the music with those being, you know, your color palette. So that songs weren't, I mean, somewhat they were, you know, recorded with an idea, a linear idea of it, but it was more about getting sounds and then going back, you know, to Pro Tools and placing you know, these guitar parts with percussion parts, with drum parts, with keyboard things, and then building that way. So it's more like a cut and paste rather than I'm going to sit down and write out, you know, what this is going to sound like, because you're just painting with sounds. And so, you know, we had a good system going. You know, I spent a lot of time on the phone with Yvonne from Rockstar figuring out what they wanted. And I was living in Austin, Texas at the time. And I'd fly out to LA where Woody Jackson was and had his studio to record things. And I'd be back in Austin. We'd figure out we'd need something. And so I just call Woody. He would have, you know, either record it himself or have the people over, then send it out. Then once I got that part, you know, we could layer it into what we were doing. But it wasn't a traditional composition in the linear sense of it starts here, it ends here, and it's going to do this along the way. Because you have no idea what the player is going to do. I mean, you could walk around in there picking flowers, or you could be shooting everybody, getting chased. You're hog tying a nun to the railroad tracks.
Yeah. Well, talking about Undead Nightmare, which is the zombie version, and really, I mean, the main game itself, it's really one of the greatest games that I've played, and I could not believe that this was a thing. I could not believe that they then turned it into a zombie version. You know, like if it wasn't already great, it got even better through that. And the music, of course, just as the game does, it has a whole other kind of life to it. Was the process any different, or was it purely just kind of matching with the new storyline, the new feeling?
Well, I mean, it was different and it wasn't. There was a lot of stuff that we wanted to add into things that maybe got too modern, or, you know, for the frontier where they wanted to just maintain a traditional vibe. And so, you know, some of the synthesizers, you know, or, you know, Moogs or what, you know what I mean? These odd sounds that we thought sounded cool in there weren't necessarily acceptable for the, you know, for the game. And it was really fun to be able to go back and, you know, it's almost like you're getting to play the big game again, you know, because things that we learned and heard in the first game, it was a nice chance to get to redo it and then use all of these other sounds that we weren't allowed to use, I guess, in the first thing. Personally, I'm not a zombie person, so that's a phenomenon that I know.
It's not a yeah. What was it like collaborating with Woody Jackson, or just in general having that collaborator with you? Was that an interesting process, kind of having going back and forth with someone else on this?
Woody was, I mean, I was initially hired for the job through friends of Dean Martinez, and then Woody was, who had been a guitar player in my band back in the 90s. And so I've known him for 25 years. And in the meantime, since we had split up in, oh goodness, I think it was 97. And, you know, things had happened in his life, and he had built an amazing recording studio at his home in LA. And he was just an obvious choice. I mean, I know the kind of music that he's into. I know how his big strength is being able to, I mean, he goes out and finds, like, he'll figure out what guitar was used on, you know, Ennio Morricone, Man with the Harmonica, you know, and based on, you know, what amp it was, what sounds it was. And so getting the actual, you know, to recreate those things, I mean, he was just an obvious choice. And so started out using his studio and him as an engineer, and he's brilliant at that stuff. And then it just came to be that he was contributing so much musically that it made sense to give him composer credit, because it would not have been done without him, you know, or the Davey Chedwig. And it was the percussionist on there that did hundreds of hours worth of, I mean, he's really the backbone of that soundtrack, was all the wonderful percussion stuff and drumming.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a nice little working, you know, triangle going between Rockstar and Woody.
Well,
he had also spent the years between 97 and when we started on that, I guess the 10 or 11 years doing movie soundtracks and working for like David Holmes and doing the motion stuff and just developing cool sounds and all of that. So.
Oh, of course, I mean, there's so many things you could talk about with this game, but are there any other standout moments for you of the process or anything that sticks out to you about the game that comes to mind? Or and it's not okay. I just don't want to leave something unsaid that would be...
I think that, Davey, the percussionist, it was really like... slightly underappreciated in his like contribution to things. And then the soundtrack album was put together out of all the stems that I've mixed for the game by David Holmes. And it was a thrill for me to be able to work with him because I'm a big fan of his work. And also after almost 2 years of mixing stems, my ears were shot. I was burnt. It was nice to have somebody, pick up the ball from there and turn it into a really great soundtrack.
Yeah. All right. But well, I guess I just want to ask, like, are you someone who, cause I've talked to composers who say a variety of things. Do you listen to a lot of music on your own, or do you tend to find that you are within your own process of creation, so you tend to not listen to too much otherwise?
I think all the time that I had my band, I wasn't as open to music as I have since I kind of stopped doing it professionally. When your passion becomes your job, you end up kind of disliking it somewhat or being overly critical of things rather than just enjoying a great song for being a great song. I find myself listening to a lot of music and I'll definitely go down a path and stick with one thing for a long time. But, my tastes are all over the place. I'd say I like a little bit of everything, emphasis on the little bit.
Right.
So, but the Western soundtrack stuff, was right up, right up our alley for doing it. And so, I like everything from, Bloodstone to Billy Joe Shaver to, to Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. Well, all right, Bill. Well, I guess that's about it for what I have. I really do appreciate you taking the time. And as I said before, I have really enjoyed your music over the years. And so it did mean a lot for you to take the time to chat. And you're welcome back anytime. And
no, I really appreciate it. Yeah, no, seriously. Thanks for the interest. And funny thing, I guess on the subject of this is I haven't talked to Woody in years and years. And found out he got in contact with me about a week ago, and he just moved to Tucson. So,
which is cool. Nice.
Yeah. Never would have thought it, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, please stay safe, Bill. Take care.
You too.
And everybody, we really hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, I love the Revenant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've had that one up for years.
Yeah.